Shalom Mishpocha. Shalom family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. We're talking about end times with Joel Richardson. And it's been prophesied, and Joel has lived in the Middle East, and he has studied Islam, that he would understand the revelation of the end times. And he's put together a DVD series that will totally change your paradigm for end times. And it's so biblical. But I have to ask you a question, Joel, something that a lot of people are misunderstood. They just plain don't understand. And that has to do with the Muslim God, Allah. And many say that's just synonymous with God. And they use it interchangeably with the God of the Bible. Explain to me what Allah means to a Muslim.
Well, some people will say that Allah is simply the Arabic word for God, as opposed to a proper name for God. And they point to the fact that Arab Christians in the Middle East refer to God as Allah. The question is, did the Christians refer to God as Allah prior to them having been subjected to the Islamic governance? And that's very doubtful. Perhaps they just caved in and said, oh, it's just a name, we'll call God Allah in order to be at peace. But the bottom line is, Allah is first and foremost the God of Islam that comes with his own set of doctrines, specific theology. And the God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible has a history. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Islam bears a far closer resemblance to all of the ancient Near Eastern war and moon gods that the Israelites were fighting against, that they were contending with. The Allah of Islam is much more related to the God that Abraham left behind in the desert than the God that he followed to Israel.
So when a Muslim says Allah, who is he referring to?
Well, again, in a Muslim's mind, he's referring to the creator of all things. And in that very general sense, we agree that God is the creator of all things. But he's not referring to the God of the Bible, because Muslims reject much of the Bible. He's not referring to the God who sent his son to mankind in order to demonstrate his love for mankind, in order to do for us what we could not do for ourselves on the cross, in order to pay for our sins, in order to draw us to himself. They reject the notion that God would ever, ever become a man. That's absolutely blasphemous to Muslims. So
well, as far as I'm concerned, it's a different God.
Yeah, it's a different God. You know, yes, there are some general similarities. And when the little Muslim cries out to Allah, I believe that God hears the cry of the ignorant child who's crying out to the unknown God of creation that he calls Allah. I believe that. But when it comes to the specifics about what Muslims believe about God and what the Bible teaches, it is a different God, and Christians should not use the name of Allah.
And yet, I hear throughout the whole Middle East, there are so many Muslims that are having revelations of Jesus. Not the Jesus that Islam describes, the Jesus that the Bible describes.
You know, exactly. I just met with a Muslim leader in Istanbul, a very, very influential Turkish intellectual Muslim leader, and we sat down in his house, and I looked at him and I said, Adnan, I've come to Istanbul because I am concerned for you. I want you to become a follower of Jesus, not the Jesus of the Quran, the Jesus of the Bible, because they are two radically different individuals. And throughout the Middle East today, in unprecedented numbers, we are seeing Muslims come to faith specifically as the result, a direct result of a supernatural vision or a dream. This is unprecedented, and to put it in context, you know, the Bible says, how will they hear without a preacher? It is as if in these last days the Lord himself is directly evangelizing people. I believe that in their ignorance, as Muslims pray five times a day and they say, Allah, guide me to the straight path, I believe that among those that are sincere, God is responding to them and he's teaching them the truth about himself in Messiah, in Yeshua, and he's calling them out of Islam.
And you know what I find fascinating? With Jewish people, it's not so much saying Isaiah 53, written 800 years before Jesus came to earth, is a perfect description of Jesus, but it's signs and wonders. Is the same thing going on with Muslims?
You know, I have a really close friend that I went to school with here in the States, and he lives in Berlin now. We talk at least once a week, and he is seeing Muslims in Berlin come to faith several per week. You know, he'll go in a cafe, he'll share the gospel with someone, and two Muslims at the table next to him will interrupt and say, we want that, we want to get saved. He said it's not even a matter of having to throw out the net anymore. They're just, they're jumping into the boat. He recently had a meeting where a very prominent Turkish businessman in the area invited dozens of Turks that had recently moved to Germany to a meeting where my friend prayed for them, and 9 out of 9 people were instantaneously healed, and 9 out of 9 Turkish Muslims gave their life to Christ that day. That's in one day. He's seeing these things every week. This is unheard of.
Well, you know why this is going on. There's going to be so many Muslims and Jews. There's going to be a revival among Muslims and Jews, and this is the first fruits of the revival, so we'll have a few leaders.
Amen, amen. And when they come to faith, they are fearless. They are fearless, and they are women.
They're normal. Let's call it the way it is. They're normal, not American Christian normal, biblical normal.
Exactly. They're Christianity 101. And as they're being discipled, they're actually trying to keep away from them those Christians that have been Christians for their life. Because
You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to get 10 Jewish rabbis saved, keep them away from religion, be it rabbinic Judaism or be it Constantine Christianity, and we would have our first 10 men walking on water.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll tell you, with regard to the Jews coming to faith, the Bible says that the Gentiles have the ministry of jealousy. They are to make the Jewish people jealous because of their relationship with Yahweh. And I believe that when Jews see Muslims coming to Yeshua and repenting of their anti-Semitism and embracing the Jewish people and loving the Jewish people, that will be, when Ishmael comes to the God of Israel, comes back to the God of Israel, that will be one of the more significant factors that will bring conviction to the heart of the Jewish people.
Let's go to your revelation of Micah chapter 5, verse 2 to 4, where you're building your case that the Antichrist will come out of Islam and the Islamic system.
Exactly. For those that have read, you know, the Left Behind series, we're taught that the Antichrist would come out of Europe and all of these sort of things. But when we look at any of the passages throughout the Old Testament that speak of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus is always coming back to do battle against Islamic nations, Islamic peoples, and all of the references to the Antichrist are Islamic names, Islamic titles. In Micah 5, you have the prophecy of the Bethlehem-born Messiah. We always quote this, you know, around Christmas. This is what the Pharisees quoted to Herod when they asked where the Messiah would be born. But when you read a little bit further, it says specifically that when the Assyrian, and again, this is another title for the Antichrist, when the Assyrian invades the land of Israel, speaking of the final invasion of the land of Israel by the Antichrist, it says that Jesus the Messiah, the Bethlehem-born Messiah, would deliver the Jewish people from the Assyrian. And when you look at this title, the Assyrian, if you're a believer that takes the Bible at its face value interpretation, then you have to ask yourself, is it more reasonable to conclude that the Antichrist, as the Assyrian, will come from out of the former region of the Assyrian Empire in the Middle East, or is it more reasonable to conclude that the Antichrist will be Nicolae Carpathia from Romania.
And Daniel 2:43, you gave me the Aramaic understanding of the statue where the toes would be of mixed substance. What does that word mixed mean in Aramaic?
Well, in Aramaic, the word for mixed is Arab. And if you were to look at that verse in its literal translation, if you read Aramaic, it would simply say this: in and that you saw the feet of iron mixed with the clay, so also the kingdom will be Arab. This is one of the clearest and most direct references to the nature of the fourth kingdom. It's a very similar story to where Daniel went to Belshazzar and he said, "Mene, mene, tekel, perez." The kingdom will be divided and it will be given to the Paras, the Persians. It's your typical Eastern play on words. Arab means mixed. It also means Arab people. They were known as the mixed peoples. The final fourth kingdom will be an Ishmaelite kingdom, the Islamic Empire.
In your heart of hearts, why does God want your DVDs out now?
Well, I believe that the church needs to be prepared for what's coming. The church needs to awaken to the reality so that we can begin to begin moving in the direction that he wants us to move. It's not just an issue of knowing the correct facts, but knowing what to do. In the last days, we need to know about the last times, but we also need to know how to respond. We need to know where to direct our energies. If the Lord is touching and drawing out a remnant from without of the Islamic world, we want to be part of that. We want to get involved. We want to know where to direct our prayers. And I believe that this DVD series will help the church to do that.
Now, you talk about Turkey as a very significant country. Why?
Well, when we look at the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39, this is one of the clearest and most direct passages about the end times in the whole Bible. Many people believe that Gog...
Oh, I'm sorry. We're out of time. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. But Mishpocha, this is the clearest understanding of the end times that you'll ever see. And you must understand the end times to know what to do. We're making these three DVDs available for a donation of $30 or more. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.